This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
David Swanson joins me live in studio. His latest book is War is a Lie, and he is online at davidswanson.org. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
Good to see you, Coy.
Let's start. I'd like to play this last clip from this conversation. Between the the prank caller between the pretend David Koch, the significance of which I guess there's you know, some folks who just outright Channing is one of them over in the booth on the phone who said I didn't really listen to it, but I just think it's horrible that somebody called and crank called the governor, that there's something wrong with that. That said, this is the first time we've actually heard this governor actually sort of speaking off the record. And really sort of taking us behind the scenes of what his thinking is. And that, I think, is the significance of this last clip that I'm going to play right now. It's only a couple of minutes long. And it's the end of the phone conversation when the governor really sort of lays out that this whole action was very premeditated. And he sort of sees himself as a modern day Reagan. Here is Governor Scott Walker talking with whom he believes is multi-billionaire supporter David Koch.
Well, good, good. It's good catching up with you.
Yeah, well, thanks. This is an exciting time. This is, you know, I told my cabinet, I had a dinner the Monday right after the 6th. Came home from the Super Bowl where the Packers won. That Monday night, I had all my cabinet over to the residence for dinner. Talked about what we were going to do, how we were going to do it. We'd already kind of built plans up, but it was kind of the last hurrah before we dropped the bomb. And I stood up and I pulled out a picture of Ronald Reagan. And I said, you know, this may seem a little melodramatic, but 30 years ago, Ronald Reagan, whose 100th birthday we just celebrated the day before, had one of the most defining moments of his political career, not just his presidency, when he fired the air traffic controllers. And I said, to me, that moment was more important than just for labor relations or even the federal budget. That was the first crack in the Berlin Wall in the fall of communism, because from that point forward, the Soviets and the communists knew that Ronald Reagan wasn't a pushover. And I said, this may not have as broad a world implications, but in Wisconsin's history, little did I know how big it would be nationally, Wisconsin's history, I said, this is our moment, this is our time to change the course of history, and this is why it's so important that they were all there. I had a cabinet meeting this morning. I reminded him of that. I said, for those who thought I was being melodramatic, you now know it was purely putting it in the right context.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott. Once you crush these bastards, I'll fly out to Cali and really show you a good time.
All right. That would be outstanding. Thanks, all right. Thanks for all the support and helping us move the cause forward. And we appreciate it. We're doing it the just and right thing for the right reasons, and it's all about getting our freedoms back.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have a little bit of vested interest as well.
Well, that's just it. The bottom line is we're gonna get the world moving here because it's the right thing to do.
All right, then.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
There's a conversation between Governor Scott Walker and whom he believed to be multi-billionaire supporter David Koch. Actually was a blogger and alternative weekly reporter from New York. David Swanson is live in studio. This governor truly believes that this is about changing the course of world history, getting our freedoms back, really sees himself as the next Reagan. What's your reaction to this?
Well, we can't know for sure what he truly believes. We know what he's telling an insider in his movement and a funder and a multi-billionaire, which just as with these leaked WikiLeaks cables, we know what people are telling each other behind closed doors. We don't know what they actually believe. But I think, you know, you can argue it's annoying and inappropriate to prank call somebody and to pretend to be someone you're not. But here we have exposure of very probable crimes, certainly ethics violations under Wisconsin's rules, and without question, reprehensible behavior. I mean, here is a governor who won't talk to anybody, won't talk to unions, won't talk to state legislators, and will take a call from a funder, from a major backer of his campaigns and his efforts, and talk to him at great length. And when the man who is supposedly David Koch says, I've got a vested interest here, the governor understands quite clearly that his career is being funded by David Koch and his co-conspirators. And he says, well, that's just the point. Well, if that is just the point, everybody knows that politicians are bought and paid for, but technically it's illegal. It's actually illegal to pay politicians to do what you want them to do. And that looks like an illegality right there.
Yeah. We're talking with David Swanson. It's davidswanson.org. Now, what do you think about him saying this is about getting our freedoms back? And he is speaking for a conservative sentiment in this country that feels threatened, that their country has been taken away, that their freedoms have been taken from them, and that getting their freedoms and their country back means not just winning against the opposition, but they actually believe they need to crush the opposition, that the power of the political opponents of the Democratic Party actually needs to be reduced to rubble so that they can never win elections again. I mean, flesh this out for us, this sentiment and this strategy.
Well, conservative is clearly the wrong term. Radical right-wing change, corporatist change, proto-fascism, call it what you want. They want to further roll back the labor movement, which has been on a rapid decline for generations. So they're not trying to get back to anything any of them actually remember from their lifetimes. And the reason that we still have the labor movement at all is that we have public labor unions, because it is so hard to fire public workers because they start to talk union. In most of the rest of the country, in the private sphere,
it's about 6 or 7% of people in private companies are in unions.
Because it's effectively banned. You start to talk union, and in most cases, people are fired. People are abused. You are subjected to mandatory anti-union meetings and so forth, which is what the Employee Free Choice Act was to be about, which was a big part of Obama's campaign and then dropped like a brick. What was about putting actual penalties in place, legalizing unionization in the private sphere. Here we have it in the public sphere. And I don't know if you played the bit in that conversation where he says, you know, this is crazy because these are public dollars going to unions that and lobby for more public dollars. This is where we have to get our freedoms back from these, you know, as if Lockheed Martin doesn't do that, right? As if David Koch wasn't doing that exact same thing in that conversation. This is a guy who gets tax breaks, who gets bailouts, who gets corporate welfare up to his ears, who is calling a governor with whom he has funded with a little bit of that public money.
Yeah.
And so there's an incredible illogic and a lack of history to it. And this is not something this governor was able to campaign on.
Yeah, these people are angry at what they see happening, but they're doing the exact same thing tenfold.
Oh, thousands fold. And people, like last time I was on your show, there was a caller quite upset that, you know, his job didn't pay well. He didn't have good benefits. So neither should these Wisconsin teachers. And yet you look at these mammoth corporations and banks and Wall Street firms that, you know, are handing out multi-million dollar bonuses that are living off public dollars, you know, that don't pay taxes, that in fact have net gains. You know, Bank of America took a couple billion dollars while people who work for a living have to pay in to the government. Where is the resentment toward the place where all the wealth is actually being diverted?
Yeah. We're talking with David Swanson. It's davidswanson.org. And, one reaction, I guess, might be, well, you're just talking class war. What is your reaction when you hear that people say, oh, well, you're just against people who have money. You're just against big business because they have a lot of money.
Yes, but you have to explain what's behind that. I'm not against people having money because I'm jealous of them and wish I had their money, or because I want them to suffer, or because I resent them. I'm against having an established aristocracy of wealth because it radically alters our politics. It creates a plutocracy. You can't have a democratic republic and a complete concentration of wealth in 5% of the population. You just can't have those two things together. It doesn't work. You have to have some degree of equitable distribution of wealth in order to have a functioning representative democracy. That's my concern.
David Swanson, he's online at davidswanson.org. His latest book is War is a Lie, and he joins us live in studio. What are your observations about the protests? Because you are a man of protests. You've been involved in many nonviolent protests in your career. What's your read on what's happening in Wisconsin from the protester side?
It's very encouraging. It's very inspiring, and it's growth to other states and other countries, and the exchange of ideas and inspiration between protesters in Egypt and Libya and Wisconsin and so forth is incredibly inspiring and invigorating. And I just hope that the endurance and the strategy and the principles are there to continue this and to see it through. You know, nothing is going to be won right away here, and if things go right in Libya, it's because they're developing a serious strategy and they're shutting down the economy and the oil and taking things over. In Wisconsin, it remains largely about demonstration and persuasion. And so the fact that some of them have taken over the GOP headquarters there in Madison is encouraging to me. The fact that they're still there living in the Capitol, even with the assembly voting to kick them out, is encouraging, because they're beginning to become a disruption of business. They're beginning to interfere with what these people want to do.
David, one of the things I really try to do on this program is to get the right and the left to sort of have a conversation. And why is this important? And why, from your perspective, is this not about balancing the budget? Because that is clearly, this governor has presented that well, I have to do this to balance my budget. I need concessions money-wise, and I need your collective bargaining rights so that the union is basically just a club and no longer a union. Speak now to the most conservative listeners that are with us. And what is it really, from your perspective, that's at stake here?
Well, he's been pushing through cuts in taxes for the wealthy. He's been pushing through privatization of various programs and services that have clearly nothing to do with saving money, but with his agenda of privatizing and shifting wealth upward. And you can support that or not, but to claim that it's about the cost of paying teachers a decent salary is just not honest. And from the point of view of the teachers and the unions and the police and all of the other public employees, it's absolutely about wages, but it's also about the right to have representation and to organize, to be able to speak as they are now, but to be able to enforce the protections that they do have under law. And without a union, it's just very, very hard to do that.
Yeah. Now, what do you say to the people who, to many conservatives in this country, union is a dirty word, and they're evil, and they're responsible for crippling businesses and ruining this country, and they threaten freedom?
Well, they don't threaten freedom. The right to organize in the workplace is an international standard that's in treaties and supposedly in our law and in our government. And if you want to have the freedom to assemble and the freedom to organize, then you can't crush unions, which built this nation's economy, which gave us the 8-hour day and the safe workplace and the weekend and the middle class, and this longing to get back to the 1950s when you could be a white male and kick people around is also a longing to get back to the day when we had unions and a single individual could earn enough money to support a family. It was unions that did that, and they did it to the great benefit of the nation as a whole.
We're talking with David Swanson. It's davidswanson.org, 452 here in Charlottesville. And tomorrow, speaking of workers rallying and workers coming together, there's an event here in Charlottesville, right?
Well, in fact, at UVA, when I was at UVA way back in the day, we were demanding that UVA employees and contracted employees get $8 an hour. The cost of living has been rising steadily since then. And the pay that UVA and its contractors give their workers has not been keeping pace. And so there continues to be an organized movement of students and teachers and workers at UVA to demand a living wage. And there will be a living wage stage march, in fact, during a UVA Board of Visitors meeting, and people will be gathering tomorrow, Friday, at 2:30 at in front of Cabell Hall. And I strongly encourage everyone to be there and to be there in solidarity with the workers in Wisconsin. You know, what these people are demanding at UVA is that employees, contracted or direct employees, be paid a decent salary, and that UVA employees have the right to speak up, to air their grievances, have fair practices of advancement and working conditions, all of the things that a union guarantees you. And of course, in this state, we have, you know, the right to work for less, the no rights in the workplace laws that make it very, very hard to form and maintain a union. And so this is an attempt to do what unions do without the union. And it could be done. And this new president has a great opportunity to do it from the start at UVA by instituting a living wage. $11.44 an hour is what they're asking for, and then index it to the cost of living. So it keeps pace with the cost of living as that rises, and we don't have to have this fight and have kids going to jail at UVA every year.
We're talking with David Swanson. It's davidswanson.org, and let's go to Raymond. He is in Charlottesville. Raymond, thank you for joining the conversation. You go right ahead.
Sure. I just wanted to ask a question, and the question is, when you have people that either through their own willingness not to get a good education, or, and I understand all the social factors is why some don't, but if you take someone who, say, their work value is basically $5 an hour, and you artificially give them 10 because, hey, that's a living wage, how can you justify that in pure economics?
It's a great question. So, you know, I guess his question stands for itself. These people, he's saying their work isn't worth $11-$12 an hour. It's, it's worth to the person paying it. It's worth $5 for me to pay, or $6-$7 for me to pay somebody to mop a floor or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, you know, zero is also what it's worth to some people. We would have straight out slavery if we simply went with what people want to pay and what they can force people to do. If you're going to pay people $5 an hour, they are going to have to work three or four jobs. They're never going to see their kids. Their kids are going to grow up and go to jail, and we're going to have to pay for that jail much more than what we could have paid their parents to earn a living. The consequences to the economy of people who have no money to spend, to the society of people who have no time for their families, to our entire culture is just disastrous. We are the wealthiest country on the planet. It would cost UVA less than 0.1% of its budget to do what people are asking for and pay a decent wage. And those kinds of statistics apply nationally. We're not talking about a big expense to pay people a decent wage. I would ask the gentleman how he would justify multi-million dollar salaries to people who don't put up any appearance of working for a living at all.
DavidSwanson.org is the website. David, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.